set for today, according to our theme, is Our Lady of Lourdes. There is probably no apparition of Our Lady that is as well connected to the Feast of the Immaculate Conception as Our Lady of Lourdes. In the seminary, it is the example given us as proof of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the Church, and the help of the Holy Spirit given to the popes in their divinely mandated mission to feed the sheep. After the apparitions at Fatima, our apparitions at Lourdes are probably the most famous in our modern era. Let us go through some of the context and circumstances of Our Lady's apparitions at Lourdes to pick up some lessons of Our Blessed Mother's apparition here. Blessed Pope Pius IX solemnly defined this dogma of the Immaculate Conception of Mary on December 8, 1854, 170 years ago, in the Apostolic Constitution in Ephesus, states. The Blessed Pope explained that Mary was preserved from original sin by a singular grace and privilege given her by God in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, Redeemer of the human race. By her Immaculate Conception, she was conceived in the fullness of grace, in the state of closest possible union with God, in view of her future role as the Mother of the Redeemer. 4 years later, in 1858, in the grotto of Massambien near Lourdes in southern France, Our Lady appeared 18 times to Bernadette Soubirous, a young peasant girl. She was born on January 7, 1844, and was baptized the next day in the old parish church, being given the name Marie Bernard, the diminutive form of the same being Bernadette. From her birth, Bernadette was a weak child, suffering even then from the asthma which would cause her so much suffering that later, in the convent, she would beg the nuns to tear open her chest so that she might breathe. Because of her delicate constitution, her parents would endeavor to give her little morsels of food not available to the other children, such as white bread instead of black. Invariably, the young girl would share these treats with her siblings, often missing out herself on the sumptuous feast. It turned out that she was also of weak intelligence, making it a frustrating experience for her to learn her catechism. A friend of the family tried to teach her, but Bernadette said of the experience, "It was useless for me to repeat my lessons. I always had to begin again." Following the advice of the priest, she persevered, but we find her at the age of 14 in 1848 in Lourdes, still not having made her first Holy Communion. To the west of Lourdes, beyond the River Gave, is an old rock promontory excavated at its base, 8 meters deep and 12 across. This is the grotto where the apparitions occurred and can still be visited today. The locals tended to avoid the place due to its quiet desolation and wild appearance. Bernadette knew the place existed, but she had never been there all her life. At 12:30 on February 11, 1858, the Thursday before Ash Wednesday, it was cold and the weather was threatening. After dinner, with permission from their mother, Bernadette and her sister and a friend went to the banks of the river to find wood for the house. Because of her asthma, Bernadette was afraid to cross the shallow waters of the cold river. The other two went across and gathered some wood. As she gathered strength and courage to follow them, she heard the rustling sound of the wind blowing through a bush and turned around to face the grotto. This is when she saw a young lady of about 15 or 16, and of a beauty that can only be described as heavenly. She appeared within a golden cloud placed above the bush. Instinctively, Bernadette took her rosary and knelt down. The apparition did the same and they prayed the rosary together. At the end, the apparition simply disappeared. The whole experience left Bernadette filled with joy for several days. She confided to her sister, Marie, what she had seen, asking her to keep it a secret. But of course, the young girl did not. Their mother forbade them from returning, fearing it to be a trick of the devil. But Bernadette understood that the apparition could not have been diabolical, because he calmly sent the rosary with her. So despite her mother's prohibition, when she felt a summons in her heart to return to her place of joy, she, along with her sister, requested permission until her mother relented, and then they returned with a vial of holy water on Sunday, February 14, for a second similar apparition. This time she threw some drops of holy water upon the apparition, who only smiled and condoned the action. At the end of the rosary, Bernadette was seen in a state of ecstasy by several neighbors. At the third apparition, Bernadette came with two adult friends of the family, who wanted to know what was going on. This time, after praying the rosary in a similar manner, she was asked to return for 15 days. At the fourth, her parents joined her, and her mother saw her daughter in an ecstasy for the first time. She found it hard to believe what was happening. By the fifth, the entire town of Lourdes was in a state of excitement, having heard of the apparition, and several hundred came to the grotto with Bernadette. The lady taught her a prayer word by word until she remembered it, a remarkable feat considering the weakness of her intellectual faculties. This prayer Bernadette kept to herself and recited daily until the day she died. She was examined by a doctor at the sixth apparition, who found her to be calm and serene, showing no signs of any nervous excitement. It was here that the lady, showing sadness on her face for the first time, indicated to Bernadette that she should pray for sins. After this apparition, she was interviewed by the police commissioner, who wanted her to retract her story. But all through the interrogation, Bernadette retained her simplicity, humility, veracity, and sweet nature. Surely a sign of the heavenly nature of the apparitions, and also her increasing sanctity in itself. Terrified by the commissioner, her parents forbade her to return to the grotto. Despite this, she was compelled by an invisible force to do so. This time, even though the lady did not appear, Bernadette remained calm and returned after all the excitement. At the seventh apparition, she received three secrets concerning herself that again she kept to her grave. It was at the eighth apparition that the character of the changed from being personal for Bernadette to being universal and directed to the church and the whole world. This time, she related to the crowd of almost 500 that was present three words from the lady: penance, penance, penance. At the ninth apparition, Bernadette was told to drink from the spring in front of the grotto. Not seeing the spring there, she ran all the way into the grotto and then to the river Gave, before hearing the lady calling her back to indicate the spot where the spring was to be found. Here she ran and drank from the flowing water, which was still muddy, so that her face was smeared with mud. She was derided by the onlookers, who called her insane. The discovery of the spring was eventually declared to be miraculous, since there was no way to have known that it existed under the rock. Also, nothing extraordinary was found in the water, so that later on, the miraculous cures that were found to occur by immersing oneself in the waters were truly and most certainly miraculous in themselves. The clergy, until this time, had remained aloof from all these happenings. It was the age of rationalism in France. Even the doctor who had examined Bernadette during the sixth apparition was convinced before he began that science had all the answers and faith provided nothing. But through his examinations of Bernadette, he himself was converted to a deeper and more fervent practice of the faith. The curé of the parish was aware of this, and he was able to tell his vicars, if the appearances are genuine and of a divine character, God will let us know in his own time. If they are illusions or caused by the spirit of lies, God has no need of our intervention to reveal the falsehood. Thus, at the tenth apparition, after telling Bernadette to kiss the ground all the way to where she appeared, the lady told her to ask the priest to build a chapel at the site. Bernadette immediately went to see the parish priest. He questioned her and was moved by her sincerity. Upon listening to her answers, all his doubts were dispelled, but he kept an aloof and distant appearance so as not to influence events. He sent Bernadette back, insisting that she tell the lady, saying that before anything else, he demands to know her name, and that moreover, she must prove that this name belongs to her. Meanwhile, the news of the apparitions at the grotto spread further, and the crowd at the 11th apparition numbered in the thousands. This time, when she kissed the ground, no one mocked the 14-year-old girl, who appeared to be maturing rapidly through these experiences. The messages received were of a personal nature, directed to her alone, and she wasn't pressed to reveal them to anyone. Due to the large crowds, the local police came to keep order. Workmen decided to dig a trough to collect water from the spring. The popular press, however, the disbelievers and the freethinkers would misrepresent, distort, and discredit the occurrences, and many were the lies spread about what was happening. She was described as mad, a neurotic, a cataleptic, an epileptic, a psychotic, a fraud, a devious little liar, a fool who was manipulated by others. The list was nearly endless. The fact that only Bernadette saw the lady and could speak to her did not help. But often, by questioning Bernadette, one obtained the truth of the events that seemed so strange to so many and were easily misrepresented by them. At the 13th apparition, she was told to ask the parish priest, Abbe Peyramale, once again to have a chapel constructed on the site. The curé was deliberately so cold and harsh in his response that she forgot the second part of the message that she was told to deliver to him. The parish priest demanded a miracle of the lady as proof of her heavenly character. Despite having provoked fear in the little girl and her having to visit the priest a second time to relay the complete message, she was pleased when she finally was able to do so. Once again, he asked her to get the name of the lady as a precondition to satisfy her request. At the next apparition, a lady only smiled at hearing the request of her priest and reiterated her request that a chapel be built at the site. The whole of France was aware that the next apparition on March 4, 1858, was the last one in the series of 15. About 20,000 pilgrims were gathered before the grotto, and extra reserves of police were called in to maintain order. The whole grotto was searched twice, thoroughly. This apparition turned out to be the longest and brought many smiles to the child's face. Bernadette spent much time in conversation with the lady, but at the end did not report anything to the onlookers. Over the next 21 days, she returned to spend hours at a time in prayer and contemplation within the grotto proper. On March 24th, she felt within herself the summons to return to the grotto once again. She decided to do so the next day, the Feast of the Annunciation. Some of the more pious onlookers Recognizing that it was a great feast day, when Our Lady was greeted as being full of grace, came to the grotto to pray. The lady was waiting even before Bernadette reached the place with her parents. There, while praying the rosary, Bernadette felt compelled to ask her for her name. She had to do this 3 times while confessing her unworthiness to receive this great favor. The lady was standing above a rose bush in a similar manner to that shown on the miraculous veil. Bernadette recounted later, at my third request, her face became very serious and she seemed to bow down in an attitude of humility. Then she joined her hands, raised them to her breast. She looked up to heaven and slowly opening her hands and leaning towards me, she said in a voice vibrating with emotion, I am the Immaculate Conception. Que soy era Immaculada Concepción in the patois of the place. Then she smiled and disappeared. This response brought great happiness to Bernadette, and she hopped, skipped, and jumped all the way to the curé of the village, burst upon him, praying his breviary in the rectory garden, and announced to him in a happy voice, I am the Immaculate Conception. Abbé Peyramal understood, but was floored. He asked the child if she knew what that meant, but of course, Bernadette did not. With that, having received his response, the curé simply dismissed the child and contacted the bishop. Until this time, Bernadette simply called the woman who appeared to her the lady. Now, there was conclusive proof that she was Mary, the Mother of God. From then on, through Easter and afterwards, pilgrims streamed to the grotto in their thousands. Once again, Bernadette felt Our Lady summoning her in her home, in her heart. And at this next to last apparition, on April 7, 1858, even though her hand was touching the flame of a blessed candle, it was not burned. This was also the occasion of the first miraculous cure of a boy crippled since birth. None of these miracles, however, convinced the civil authorities of the good nature of these happenings, and they wanted to put a stop to all the visits and fence off the spring and the grotto. The devil, too, was very active, wanting to dismay and discourage visitors. However, through all this, young Bernadette remained without reproach. She never accepted any money. She told her story time and again to any and all who asked from morning to night, a task which drove her to exhaustion easily because of her asthma. Her family remained in abject poverty, while she obediently and humbly carried out all of the wishes of Our Lady. All this she accepted because Our Lady had promised her happiness in the next life, not in this one. Since she wore the brown scapular all her life, she visited the grotto and saw Our Lady one last time on this earth on the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel on July 16th of the same year. The Bishop of Tarbes, the diocese in which Lourdes is located, established a commission to examine the events. The commission, in its report, accepted and declared that the apparitions were of a supernatural character. They said of Bernadette that her sincerity could not be doubted. They noted her simplicity, candor, and modesty. Their report stated she only speaks when she is questioned, and then she recounts everything without affectation and with a touch of simplicity. And she replies to the numerous questions addressed to her without hesitation, giving answers clear and precise, very much to the point and bearing the stamp of intense conviction. She had been tested most severely, but no menaces have ever shaken her. She has responded to the most generous offers by a noble disinterestedness. She never contradicts herself. In all the different examinations which she has undergone, her story never varies. She never adds to it or takes away from it. Bernadette's sincerity cannot be disputed. The commission noted that even her opponents accepted that she was sincere. Her wise responses showed that she possesses a clear mind, a calm imagination, and a common sense far above her age. With a good report of Bernadette's character came also her obedience to our lady's wishes and command. She was humble enough to drink the water from the spring that she had dug up and eat of the herbs growing near the grotto, despite the mockery of the onlookers. The miraculous facts around the apparitions, the healings and cures were a further proof of the authenticity. The commission also noted that Bernadette could not have possibly known about the declaration of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception by Blessed Pope Pius IX, 4 years earlier, making her report of the name given by the apparitions clearly supernatural in nature, and also a stamp of approval from heaven on the declaration of the dogma. The liturgical feast of Our Lady of Lourdes was established for February 11th, the day of the first of these apparitions. It was approved by Pope Leo XIII and first granted to the Diocese of Tarbes in the year 1890. Less than 20 years later, his successor, Pope Pius X, proclaimed that it be observed throughout the Universal Church. The visionary Bernadette entered the Sisters of Notre Dame at Nanvers in 1866 and was given the name of Sister Mary Bernard. She worked there as sacristan and avoided publicity as best she could. She referred to herself as a broom which Our Lady used, but now I have been put back in my car. She died on April 16, 1879, at the young age of 35. Beatified in 1925 by Pope Pius XI and canonized by him on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, December 8, 1933. She appears in the church records as Sister Mary Bernadette, but in the hearts of the faithful, she is affectionately remembered as Saint Bernadette Chevillon. The apparitions of Our Lady at Lourdes and the comportment of Bernadette through all of them show that devotion to Our Lady brings peace, courage, and confidence to those of her children who turn to her. In her dealings with Bernadette, Our Lady showed the maternal care and concern with which she deals with all of us. Let us prepare well for her great feast day with fervent devotion, heeding her message of doing penance for ourselves, our families, and the whole world. By her Immaculate Conception, she was prepared to be the Mother of God. Nothing would please our Lord more than for us to grow in devotion to her every day. O Mary, Mother of God, Our Lady of Lourdes, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.